You're listening to Innovation for Alpha, where we explore everything at the intersection of healthcare innovation and finance. Through our discussions and interviews, we keep you informed and educated about healthcare innovations, next-level venture investing, and everything involving the combination of the two.
Hi, everybody. It's Tobin Arthur with the Innovation for Alpha podcast. I'm your host today, joined by Carrie Curran, who is the CEO of Lund Technologies. And we're just getting to know this company. Very excited to share it with you. Has a tie to orthopedics, which will appeal to many of you. But Carrie, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Well, Carrie is based back in my hometown, back in Seattle. And we're excited to learn about the company because there's a tie. You've been working with some of the universities there that we know well, the Gonzagas and Seattle U's and UW's. And so tell us a little bit about your background first, then we'll jump into Lund Technologies.
My background is in sales, marketing, and project management in medical devices and medical software as a service. So my career has been in the hospitals working with doctors and clinical nurse specialists and the end users of medical devices and software.
So how did that lead you to this company? What was the impetus for this?
Myself and co-founder Dr. Paul Horn a couple of years ago were talking about some post-surgical complications that are happening pretty frequently, where the actual surgery itself is going just fine. The post-surgical complications of pulmonary atelectasis and deep vein thrombosis were becoming pretty prevalent. And this was kind of frustrating the doctors because the patient's staying for an additional 7 to 10 days. And of course, the costs go up with that also. And Dr. Paul Horn wanted to address those issues. And that meant coming up with some pretty novel ideas in pre-surgical care to deal with these post-surgical complications.
And Dr. Horn's an orthopedic surgeon over in the Spokane area, correct?
Yes, he is. And he's with Northwest Orthopedic Specialists.
Okay. And so why are DVTs on the rise? What's causing that?
These doctors felt that patients are coming in to the surgery predisposed to deep vein thrombosis, or they already have blood stagnation in their calf. And with that blood stagnation going into surgery, they're much more susceptible to a post-surgical deep vein thrombosis. And that's the doctors feel that they need to address these patients coming into surgery already predisposed to post-surgical complications of DVT.
Okay. And you've got a pre-surgical and a post-surgical solution to this. So you and Dr. Horn are discussing this problem. What was the next step? What led you to the current, products and prototypes that you're developing?
The next step was, okay, if we have the ideas, how are we going to develop these ideas? And that's when I started calling the universities, their graduate engineering classes and researchers, and talking with them. And their seniors have a senior research project where they bring on projects, a lot of them in medical devices, and they spend their year developing these devices. And we found this just to be incredibly successful, cost-effective, and we were able to have working prototypes at the end of the school year. And that's why we've worked with universities for the last couple of years around the state. It's been really successful projects.
And so you've got two products that you're working on, and you were explaining earlier, this next year, the goal is to continue to refine those and get the prototype ready so that you can begin the FDA submission. Talk a little bit about the two products.
Yeah, our first is for to prevent DVTs. And these doctors want to start having the patient manipulate blood flow in their calf 2 weeks prior to surgery. And what we developed was what we call our CPAM, or continuous pressure active motion. So the patient is aggressively manipulating blood in their calf, both passively and actively. Actively with a pedal we designed for the patient to push up against repetitively, much as if you were in a weight room with a calf machine. The other is what we call our passive motion, where we developed an 8-bladder sequential cuff system that operates up and down the back of the calf, manipulating blood flow passively is what we call it. So we're addressing these issues in two separate manners to prevent blood stagnation prior to the surgery. As is done now, that's only dealt with post-surgically, where the patient's already gone under general anesthesia, is more susceptible to a DVT. Second device is a next generation therapeutic incentive spirometer, where this device currently is given to the patient only post-surgically. These doctors want the patient to start working on an incentive spirometer prior to surgery. And what that is doing is improving their lung alveolar health, or where the CO2 and the O2 are exchanged. This is another area where the doctors felt these patients are coming in with already poor lung alveolar health. And then the general anesthesia just makes them much more susceptible to pulmonary atelectasis, fever, and pneumonia following surgery. So both of these devices kind of work in the same manner, a pre-surgical platform to have the patient improve their health prior to surgery, not just post-surgically.
Well, and you mentioned that the school, the schools and the students in particular have been helping to develop these. So you've been very scrappy. You've gotten to this point without any outside capital. Talk a little bit about what you anticipate in terms of capital raises over the next year.
We foresee working with the University of Washington is going to require some upfront capital. They operate a little bit differently than Seattle Pacific and Gonzaga. So we'd be looking at six-figure investments to finalize our product development and have a full complete line of incident spirometers and finish our line of DVT. And that's really what our next year is going to entail, is finalizing with all the products.
And you talked about the FDA. You expect that to be a relatively efficient process. Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, they have a new program. It's been around about a year for breakthrough devices, or you can put a 510K device into this category for approval by the FDA. And again, it's called the breakthrough device. And what they're looking for is medical devices that are going to have a really relevant effect quickly in the hospital environment or doctor environment. And of course, treating these two post-surgical complications would fall right into that category. And being that they're 510K would also be very helpful. So we don't foresee any problems getting these through the FDA for approval quickly.
Terrific. And at present, school year is just kicking off. So what is the next, you know, between now and the end of the year look like? Are you getting those students are coming back, you're getting them organized, or what's your kind of day-to-day look like?
That will be going on through the end of this month and into September. Getting all the teams together. It's multidisciplinary teams of electrical, computer, and mechanical engineers all working together. And the next probably 30 to 60 days is just getting all the teams together, going over the projects and them understanding what we're looking for and having a clear timeline of how the project's going to progress throughout the school year. And that's been very effective the last couple of years working with these universities, meeting with them weekly, staying on the same page, makes the project just go really, really smoothly and effectively. And we've been very fortunate to have university professors working on these projects, both in electrical, mechanical, and computer. So they're hand-to-hand on a daily basis, really working with these students on their projects and giving them good advice and where to go and answering a lot of questions. So it's been really successful projects.
Nice. And is Dr. Horn and his associates still involved in terms of giving you feedback and kind of helping you with a feedback loop there?
Yeah, I give them updates on where the projects are going, listen to any advice they may have. They sit down on some of our Zoom meetings when we meet weekly and ask any questions of the engineers, provide their feedback, of course, and they've just been a valuable resource in the product development.
So you must be chomping at the bit a little bit as a guy that comes from the sales and marketing background. This commercial, you know, this development phase is required, obviously, but once you get commercial, then you can kick into high gear.
Well, you know, the cool thing about our projects is something that is going to be really relevant to healthcare and to a patient's health. And it's kind of a novel idea, pre-surgical health. I think it's one of the next really big markets out there, taking care of the patient before they come into surgery, mm-hmm. Not just afterwards. So it's an exciting market, and it's always exciting to be able to sell something new and innovative into the hospital environment, because hospital people are generally gadget people. They like looking at new stuff. So being able to sell something that's really novel and innovative is always a lot of fun for a salesperson.
Yeah, absolutely. And maybe let's close with, you had shared with me an article in Fierce Biotech that referenced some work J&J is doing. Maybe just touch on that a little bit.
Yeah, the head of products, medical devices at Johnson & Johnson a couple months ago, I was interviewing with a magazine that you mentioned, and he said J&J is developing a pre-surgical platforms to start addressing a patient's health prior to surgery, not just after surgery. And that kind of validated what our ideas was, is to improve the patient health prior to surgery. And that's where we're going with our product development.
Nice. I love it. Well, Kerry, thanks a ton for coming on the show. We wanted to give everybody a little glimpse of the company. We're going to stay connected and stay watching, and please share any updates as they come along. And we'll be looking forward to see how this year progresses. It should be an exciting year for you.
Thank you. We certainly will keep you updated on our product development. And thanks for the time, Tobin.
See you again soon for the next episode of Innovation for Alpha. Make sure to go to Innovation for Alpha for access to prior episode links, show notes, and other valuable resources. This show is for entertainment purposes only. Before making any investment decisions, please consult with a professional. This show is copyrighted by Angel Indie Media, and written permission must be granted before syndication or rebroadcasting.